I'm just looking around because the last few weeks I've just seen kind of empty chairs, and it's kind of nice to see bodies in them. Smile once. Oh, there you go. All right. I just was checking to see if, you know, live or Memorex. There was my brother-in-law back in Nebraska. They actually put names on their chairs of the people who attend. And they said the funny thing was for the how many ever weeks it was that they had church, everybody had perfect attendance. They all made it to church because their names had not been removed. So we're glad that we're able to be together as a church body. I'd love to have you open your Bibles, if you would, please, go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. So we have been preaching through the same series. I didn't go off on any tangents. I wanted to continue to keep feeding you through this book. It has been interestingly timely how God's Word has addressed many of the needs of our lives during the times that we've been going through. And I believe that today is no different. If you weren't able to, there are some messages on Facebook. If you follow our page or YouTube, if you subscribe to that channel, then you'll be able to get the messages there and look at them. Some of the dates aren't right or accurate, so to speak. But if you just watch, you'll see this is posted 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, a week ago, etc. So you'll be able to find those, okay? So let's get into the Word of God this morning and ask God to help teach us from the Word of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm looking at verse 20 through 24. All right, you follow along as I read to you this morning. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ." That's verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4. "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." When I look at this text, I think of my title for the message. It's "Time to Renew." Time to renew. Spring is a time of renewal in the cycle of nature. We see the deadness of winter turned into the vibrancy of what we'll see here in a few weeks of summer. Flowers are starting to pop up, which some of them are already out. We have just all kinds of things growing. If you've got different kinds of plants or whatever, they're starting to take shape, aren't they? But renewal is also a part of our lives, is it not? We have several items in our lives that need to be renewed. I drive a car that needs the license to be renewed every year. So you either go to the DMV and stand in line, or you do it online, but you have to do that every year. Memberships that we hold in different places sometimes have a renewal that gets you have to pay for every once in a while, whether it's a yearly or a semi-annually or every other year, whatever, you still have to renew that. I checked my driver's license as I was writing this, and I was reminded that I've got to renew my driver's license, but I've got 2 years, so I got all the time in the world, man. I have to worry about that at all. My brother-in-law, he had his license, he let it slip, and they had some car trouble out in Iowa. They live in Nebraska and had some car trouble, and they were going to go and rent a car. And no problem, you know, he takes his license out, and they go, "We can't rent this car to you because your license is expired." And he's like, "What?" It was like 6 or 8 months expired, and it was one of those kind of a things that you just don't think about it. You have a birthday, you should check your license. That's my public service announcement for the morning. All right. Do y'all think that the year 2020 should have a reset button? Oh, my goodness. I read somewhere where I thought we were supposed to have murder wasps. What's the deal? We missed them. Somewhere in this whole carnage, we missed that. But, you know, it seems like we've gone from one calamity to another calamity this year. Life is filled with difficult circumstances, and you are probably living in some difficult circumstances in your world right now. But I want you to know, none of these circumstances, listen to me, should never move us to a sinful, appropriate response. We today want to understand that the Word of God guides us to a more appropriate response than falling into sin. Each one of us who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that person no longer is under the power of darkness, but is a child of the light. Paul admonished the believers in Ephesus. He said, "Walk as children of the light," in Ephesians 5 and verse 8. God's word renews our minds as we surrender our all to Him. As we read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, listen to these words. In verse 2, Paul's, "Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God." So sinful responses should not be a part of the Christian's response to the bad circumstances they may be placed in. Is it hard not to respond in a negative way or a sinful way? Oh, absolutely. But I think we as believers need to understand that God's Word is helping us make a more appropriate response. Jesus told His followers that they were to change through the Word of God. He said, "Sanctify them," His prayer was to His Father, "through your Word," He says in John 17, 17, "your Word is truth." We need truth today, amen? And we need to follow the truth. As the mind understands the truth of God's Word, the Holy Spirit transforms that yielded mind, and the renewal or transformation that takes place leads to a changed life. Change is difficult to achieve. And Jeremiah the prophet pointed out the difficulty of breaking an established life pattern. When he declared the word of God to the Lord's people who were just not listening, we read in Jeremiah 22, verse 21, listen, he says, "I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, 'I will not hear.'" He says, "This has been your manner from your youth, that you did not obey my voice." It's a heart problem, isn't it? It's a heart problem. You could have someone go to the ear doctor and check their ears. Some of our children, we thought maybe we would have to do that because they just weren't listening. And you know what? It wasn't their ears after all. They could hear perfectly. It's always the heart, isn't it? It comes down to the heart. Now, what we notice in this passage in Ephesians chapter 4 is Paul is exhorting the believer to have a renewed mind. So we notice, first of all, that we are not children of the darkness. We are children of the light. So we are to have a renewed mind and thinking differently than we once did as a Gentile. So look at this. The wrong frame of mind to have is found in verse 21 and 22 of this chapter. Look at with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. He says, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." Paul is teaching the believer that since they have Christ as their Savior or a personal relationship with Jesus, changes need to be made in their lives, and the way that they live needs to change as well. Paul is saying that our salvation results in a new position before God. The old man, that former life that he talked about here in verse 22, the former conduct, that old man, he says, has been put away or is to be put away. And now we can walk in newness of life because of Christ. This causes us to have a renewed mind and life, and that's what we want, isn't it? You have not so learned Christ. Let's take a look at a couple of things that we are confronted with in the truth of this passage. Our biggest problem is not the environment we live in. You agree or disagree? Our biggest problem is not the environment we live in. Some of you could tell me stories about your past when you grew up. Did y'all grow up in a perfect home? We all have to shake our head with a no, right? Did your parents do everything absolutely right? I have to confess, no. And even as a dad, I didn't do everything right. So you, if we take this thought that the environment we live in is how we're going to turn out, all of us are doomed. There's no way we can change, right? If you grew up in an abusive household, you have to be abusive then, don't you? If you grew up in an alcoholic family, you have to be an alcoholic, right? If your household was filled with drugs and abuse in that situation, you have to be that, right? You don't. It is your heart. I want to just take a couple of minutes and take you back to the book of Genesis. Would you take, if you have your Bible with you, you can go back to Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to introduce you to two people today in these chapters, chapter 5 and chapter 6. Men who lived in, I want to just call it maybe awkward times. I want to introduce you to, first of all, Enoch. Enoch. Chapter 5, and I want you to start looking at it in, it's kind of hard to find a place in chapter 5, verse 18, gives us the fact that Jared, his father, when he was 162 years old, begot Enoch. In other words, that's when Enoch was born. When he was 162 years old. Some of us complain about being old. We don't know what we're talking about because these guys were definitely older, right? So 162, Enoch was born to Jared. After he begot Jared, it tells us that Jared lived 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. That's a good long life, isn't it? Listen to this. Enoch lived 65 years, and begot Methuselah. What do you know about Methuselah? Oldest guy in the Bible, right? Oldest guy in the Bible. Now listen, in verse 22, after he begot Methuselah, I want you to catch this. Enoch, let's say it together, walked with God and had sons and daughters. Now, something interesting. If you start in chapter 5 and go to the first verse and you read through the entire chapter of this book, there will be one person that's highlighted like this, and that's Enoch. I want you to notice that every other person that's listed in this fifth chapter is that he lived, he begot sons and daughters, he died. He lived, he begot sons and daughters, he died. We come to Enoch. He lived, he walked with God, and he died. No, he didn't die either. I want you to go on with me here. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That doesn't mean that he died. What it is a picture of, brothers and sisters in Christ, is what we're waiting for. One day, if we are walking with God and we know Jesus as our Savior, He is going to literally take us. And we will not be, well, we will not be on earth, but we're going to be as much alive and vibrant and perfect and righteous and holy as we will ever be in the presence of our Savior. Enoch lived in a time when everything that was moral and good was literally slipping away. Why do I say that? Take a look at the sixth chapter. After we find here that Noah is born, in the 29th verse, Lamech had a son named Noah. And we notice that Noah comes on the scene just before verse or chapter 6 rolls around. And we're talking about now in look at verse 5. That the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. God made a promise after the flood, after the global flood that covered the entire earth. He made a promise that he would never do that again. God is a God of righteous judgment, however. There will be a day of accounting. He's not going to destroy the earth with a flood, but everyone will have to stand before the Lord and kneel at his feet because he alone is God, right? I'm going to introduce you to a man named Noah in chapter 6. Look at verse 5. But it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9 it says, this is the genealogy, or in other words, his heritage of who was he's going to talk about where he came from and how he lived. It says, genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. That doesn't mean that he was sinlessly perfect. It means that he was a kind of a moral complete man, right? Living for the Lord kind of a guy. And it finally caps off Noah as Noah walked with God. Think about how difficult that had to have been in his neighborhood, in his time that he was living. Noah walked with God. It's not the environment that we live in that makes us evil. It is our heart. And we need a heart for God to be able to live in a world that is only evil. Noah did it, and so can we. Our biggest problem, is a heart that wants its own way. That's our problem. We want our own way. Let me just take you a couple of passages of Scripture I have on the overhead up here on the screen. A few of the verses that are helpful us to see this way of life. You can jot these down if you want. I'm not going to turn to them, every one of them, but I'm going to just let you have the Word of God sink into your soul when it comes to our own way. Judges 17 and verse 6 says, every man did what was right in his own eyes. I can think of a few people that wouldn't be a problem, but I can also think of a few people that would be a huge problem, right? Think about that. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool, God says, is in his own eyes. I think I'm right. I think I'm good. I think I'm this or whatever. But I want you to understand that the way of a fool, God says, is in his own eyes. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. The Bible commands us, among other things, as we're taking through some very great directives here. Romans 12, 16. Be not wise in your own opinion. Your own opinion. We all can speak our mind, and a great place to see that lived out is Facebook. I mean, people are speaking their mind. And, well, I won't make any more comments about that because I don't want to speak my mind about that. But anyway, you get my point. Jude, verse 16. He's talking about the ungodly. Jude identifies them as murmurers, complainers, and walking after their own lusts. It's identifying our own way. Well, without much trouble, our own way penetrates our lives and gets into every part of our being. God exposes the rebellion of our hearts by putting us into some hot water so he can show us how self-centered we really are. There was a young woman who went to her mother and told her about her life and how things were so hard for her. She didn't know how she was going to make it and wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. So her mother took her to the kitchen. And she filled 3 pots with water. In the first, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed some eggs. And in the last, she placed some tea bags. So they had these, just put some water on a pan, turn the stove on, put these things in the pan, and sat down and waited. Didn't say anything else to her daughter. In about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. So she fished the carrots out, put them in a bowl. She took the eggs out and broke. And then she also took the tea out, and the bags out, and put it in a bowl or a cup. She had turned to her daughter and says, "What do you see?" "Well, I see carrots, I see eggs, and I see tea." She brought her closer. "I want you to feel these carrots. They're a little warm, so be careful." So she took her fork and she was feeling how they were now mushy. They were soft. She asked her to take an egg and break it and pulled off the shell and observed that this egg that was once fragile is now hard. She asked her to take a sip of the tea, smiled and took a drink and inhaled its flavor and richer, and says, "What's the point, mother?" Well, her mother explained that each one of these objects had faced the same adversity, and that is boiling water, hot water. And each one of them reacted differently. She pointed out to her that the carrot went in strong and hard and unrelenting. "You can't change me." And through the process of hot boiling water, it became mushy and soft. She had her take the egg and its thin outer shell protected its liquid interior. It was soft and it was just liquid. But after sitting through the boiling water, look what happened to the egg. It turned hard. And the tea bag, it was unique. It was different. Because after the bag was in the boiling water, the bag changed the water. And she asked her daughter, "Which are you?" When adversity comes knocking at your door, when things become hard in your life, when the water of your life begins to raise in the temperature and you are now in the boiling water, what are you like? Are you the carrot? Were you hard and strong and not able to be pushed over, and now all of a sudden through some hot water you just became soft? Were you like the egg that was fragile and a thin shell protected your weak exterior that could be broken at any time, but now through the hot water you became hard? Or did you become like the tea bag that you didn't have the circumstances around you change you, but you, because of the qualities in your life, the Lord in your life, the strength that you have through Jesus, you change the environment around you? The former conduct that Paul is referring to is the old life before we entered the relationship with Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, all things become new. And Paul is challenging the believer to renew the spirit of his mind in verse 23, because that's what we need. He says in verse 24 that the old man, in verse 22, grows corrupt. And we don't want that to be sitting in our life much longer. Ken Boa told of a class that he sat in under the teachings of a man named Howard Hendricks on the spiritual life. And Hendricks defined and developed the spiritual life as one that was defined as the life of Christ reproduced in the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit in the obedient response to the Word of God. That's what the spiritual life is all about. It's the life of Christ reproduced in believers by the power of the Holy Spirit of God as we obediently respond to the Word of God. He taught that, among other things, the spiritual life is a substitution. We take on Christ's character. In verse 20 and 22 of this chapter, we read here that we're supposed to put off the former conduct. And later in verse 24, we'll be told to put on the life of Christ. This life is an identification. The spiritual life, we have the power to live for Christ now that we didn't before. When we were unsaved, we had no power in us. But now that we have the Holy Spirit of God, we have the power to live for Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, listen to this. Paul says in his prayer is that the eyes of your understanding in verse 18 of chapter 1 be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And he is telling us the exceeding greatness of the power that God toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand of the heavenly places. We have that power in us. It's an identification. We also know that this spiritual life gives freedom. It gives us freedom. Freedom that we didn't have before. We're no longer subjected to the old life. It has been literally put to death. Stop giving it CPR. Stop trying to give it some electronic device to shock it back into rhythm. We want that old man dead. We've been filled with the Spirit, and we have the ability to have self-control as we focus on God. We can be motivated to live for Him. So it's time to renew the spirit of our mind and put off that old man and put on the new man, which leads us to the right frame of mind to have. Verse 23 and 24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, that you may put on that new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul instructs us to put on the new man. We can't just put off the old man and not put on the new man. We've got to take him out of our lives and put Christ in our lives in order for us to have the right frame of mind. As the mind understands the truth of God's Word, it is then gradually transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. Notice what Paul is teaching us here about the change we need. It is literally focused on Christ and focused on His character. It's not telling us that we need to change our attitude and do things differently. It's no laws to keep here. It's not based on our outward behavior. You can do everything right on the outside and have a dead man's heart. We need God to change us from the inside out. To be renewed in the spirit of our mind means that we're thinking differently, like we talked about in weeks before when we were talking about the futility of our thinking when we were Gentiles, unsaved. But this new man is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God is all-powerful, is He not? He can do that. He's all-knowing. He knows exactly what you need to change. And yet, when you think about what you need to change, some of you are saying, I don't have anything to change. God has a different opinion. Right? God is always present. He's always around us. So He knows exactly what you're doing. Every pattern, every time of the day, He sees. He's better than Santa. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Right? He knows when you've been bad and good. So be good, for goodness sake. That's not Santa. That's the Lord. God is going to never change. So he is relentless on your behalf. He loves you and he wants you to change, to be like him. This new man under the power of the Holy Spirit of God can become the righteousness of God and can live a holy life. And in the hot water situations of our life, instead of being changed by the circumstances in a negative way, then we can be more like the tea bag and spread love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. That's a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Now listen, God may send problems into your life that you can't handle. I'm not saying that as a challenge. Oh, yes, I can. I'm literally meaning God is going to send challenges into your life that you can't handle. And what that does is exposes our helplessness. What do we learn from the Scripture when we're helpless? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I'm telling you, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's not us. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God says, I, the Lord, know the heart. I try the reins. I'm the one that can change it. We need to go to Him. When He exposes our helplessness, then we turn to Him for our help. And secondly, I think God will give us commands sometimes that we just won't obey. We won't obey. It's not I can if I want. It's that you don't want to. You know the commands of Scripture, and you're keeping them all, right? This exposes our self-centeredness. I think of the man named Jonah, who was told to go to Nineveh. And what does he do? He goes the other way. I'm not going to do that. God had a way of getting him to do what God wanted him to do, though, didn't he? Because God prepared a fish. Jonah jumped in the lake. Well, he was thrown in to the ocean, and a fish just happened to swallow him and take him back to where he needed to go and spit him on the land. That's like, okay, God, I get it. I get it. I'm going where you want me to go, Lord. There is no way around this. And Noah reluctantly goes in there and he preaches the message God wants him to preach. And you know what happens? A revival happens. And we see Jonah sitting under a gourd wishing to die because he curses the day he was born. Why? He's reluctant. He was given a command that he won't obey reluctantly. But think about the lost joy of serving God when you sit there reluctantly to serve the Lord, to do what He wants you to do. The right frame of mind is necessary for us to be able to obey God's commands. We have to have the right mind. If we're going to obey God's command, we have to have the right frame of mind. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. He is not a human like can be swayed or convinced to do something other than what who He really is. So we can obey Him. We need to have the right frame of mind, though, necessary to be able to obey the commands. And these next few verses will teach us to work. And I'm not going to take those on this morning. I know that some of you have been watching me online. I've filled up the hour. There's nobody else here. I might as well preach, right? But I just want you to know that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be taking these commands in these next few verses, and we're going to be tackling them because I think it's important for us to have the right frame of mind to be able to do the things that God commands us to do. It takes a lifetime, literally, to work out this frame of mind in this way of living. And God is with us for the long haul, and He wants us to develop into the character of Christ. But Paul has taught us that the gospel changes us, and we need to learn Christ, and that we can discover how our old identity is gone, and we need a new identity in Christ. It is time to renew the spirit of our mind. My prayer today is that when you're thinking about your frame of mind, have you been thinking about excuses that you might be making up because the way you are living, the way you are acting, the way you respond in difficulty? That you have all these excuses and these justifications, and you can make yourself sound like a saint because of your justifications, but when you put yourself against the Word of God, all of our excuses fall flat, don't they? And we need to stand up before the Lord and be accountable to Him. I'm not asking you to please me. I'm asking you to please the Lord Jesus Christ, to be accountable to Him and His Word. It's not laws that we're keeping that make us happy. It is the law of Christ in the Word of God that we need to keep Him satisfied, because He alone deserves all of our praise. Honor and the glory belongs to Him. So we do need to have a change of mind. My prayer today is that God will help us to not come up with excuses, but to have the mind that says, Lord, I need You. Please forgive me. Help me to be more like You. Let's pray and ask God to help us do that. Father, we come to You today because we know that You are the only one that can change this heart of mine, our hearts. We don't want to do our own thing, but yet, Lord, we know that so often we do our own thing. We have our own thoughts. We justify our sin, making us sound better than we really are, when really what we need is to surrender to the mind of Christ. We need to have the Spirit of God draw us close to Him so that we can be more like Him. Change our hearts, Lord. Renew our thinking and our mind, and help us to focus on You. The gospel is the only answer for the world that we live in today. The only answer. And we need to come to Jesus. So, Lord, I pray, draw us to You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with me this last song if you want.